It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. President Trump used the Defense Production Act last night to order meat plants to stay open during the pandemic. So meatpacking plants across the country and here in Wisconsin have become hotspots for the virus. JBS USA announced the temporary closure of its meatpacking plant in Green Bay. Health officials, they've traced at least 255 positive cases of COVID-19 among employees at JBS Packerland. So what questions do you have about our state's food supply? Have you been able to get the meat and produce you need? Do you work in the meat processing industry? What is your experience? Is your plant operating? We're at 800-642-1234. Jeff Sindelar is an associate professor of animal and dairy sciences in the College of Agriculture and Life Science at UW-Madison, where he specializes in meat processing, food safety, and meat science. Jeff, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much. It's great to be back with you and look forward to some conversation this morning.
Yeah, we've been watching closely what's been happening at the JBS plant in Brown County that suspended operations earlier this week. And then the president's order last night. How might this all affect the meat supply here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's definitely a great question. Certainly, there are effects and impacts that are occurring that are occurring on a daily and even in some cases hourly basis. With some of the recent changes here locally in the state of Wisconsin, with the temporary closure of the plant, the JBS plant up in Green Bay, as well as a response to that, as well as what's occurring across the country with President Trump's signing of that act, there's changes for the worse, probably, and as well as changes from the better to try to mitigate some of these uncertain and very unstable times.
So, let's navigate that. What would the changes for the worse be, first of all?
Yeah, so definitely, right? I mean, I think everybody is becoming clear to many that our food supply is being challenged a little bit, right? We're seeing lots of plant closures, especially in the last couple of weeks, and that number around which kind of hovers around 20, and it kind of goes up and down based on reopenings and new plants that are closing that are trying to get a handle on this pandemic. Those plant closures represent a fairly significant, small yet significant percentage of the meat that's processed and made available to consumers across the country. So that's definitely a concern in that. With reduction of production, there is also reduction of product available to consumer. Unfortunately, that has a trickle-down effect. So we're still producing the animals to supply the people and consumers in Wisconsin as well as the country. And right now, one of the, in my mind, greater concerns is what are we doing with all those animals, and how do we help mitigate some of the situations where we're getting or the livestock industry, the front part of animal agriculture is getting backed up with all these animals and nowhere to go with them.
All these animals nowhere to go with them. But we saw in March that meat processing was way up with USDA figures. Do we have enough supply in there right now? Are we saturated for a while?
Yeah, so another great question. I think that we are maybe not saturated, but we have supply. The meat and poultry industry is a fairly nimble industry. It's very sensitive to changes in market, all the way from the forecasting of crops down to consumer purchasing habits. So, whenever there are changes or even speculations of changes in any of those points during the market or in that market, there can be some ebbs and flows of production and supply and demand and so forth. The U.S. really doesn't have a huge cold storage or frozen storage capacity. And it really has been because we really haven't needed it. And compared to other countries, like such as China, we have a very, very small, you know, really, relatively speaking, a relatively small amount of cold storage capacity. So we operate more on a continuous system of, you know, we have animals in the food chain, we are processing those animals, we're getting them to the consumers, either through restaurants, grocery stores, you know, hotels, food system, you know, school systems, and so forth. And so that process is just kind of this nice continuous process that just kind of rolls right along, and it's worked for many, many, many decades.
And so one piece of that process interrupted will affect the entire supply chain.
It can, you know, it definitely doesn't have to, but it definitely can. And because of all those, you know, little bumps or little changes in the supply chain that happen in normal times, right? The system is able to absorb a lot of those. And sometimes consumers might see the effects of some of those bumps. You know, they might see the price of meat go up a little bit in grocery stores, or they may see it go down in grocery stores. And so those are some of the things that, you know, consumers see, but there's lots of other, you know, changes that are occurring upstream. And so situations like we're existing right now, they're just a little bit of a bigger bump. And so how big that bump is, I don't know if anyone really knows yet, but, you know, things such as Trump's signage of that act last night are absolute clear direct responses to minimizing that bump, as well as ensuring that the food supply is protected in not only Wisconsin, but of course the U.S.
Talking with UW meat processing expert Jeff Sindelar is here as we examine how plant closures may affect Wisconsin's meat supply. Producers, how are plant closures impacting your operations? Are you considering opening up now after the executive order last night? Are you concerned about the industry going forward? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Ann now, joining us from Heartland. Hi, Ann.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, since this seems to be not only in Wisconsin, but in the country, that meatpacking plants are having an outbreak amongst the people working there. So my question is, how is this getting there? Is it have something to do with the animals? Are they bringing it in? Is someone, I hope people are investigating that. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. What do we know about the outbreaks and the infections inside these plants, Jeff?
Yeah, that's a great question that Ann proposes and asks. So, you know, the CDC is, you know, the go-to resource for this type of information. And of course, they have, you know, lots of really smart scientists, great people, as well as they are connected with, you know, universities, as well as other aspects of the government, so that they have the most accurate data and information as possible. We know, let me digress. The CDC strongly believes, well, we know that this is a virus, and CDC strongly believes, as they have adamantly reported, that it spread from person to person, likely through, you know, people that are close contact or via respiratory droplets. There hasn't been, to my knowledge, and I haven't seen any comments from CDC that has suggested that food has ever been able to be a transmission source, essentially saying that you won't get it from the consumption of food. And it's primarily because, as I've understood, the virus, food isn't a good host. So if it gets on the food, that virus isn't able to survive, or survive in a way that it can make someone infected if someone were to consume that food. So, you know, one of the greatest, a significant concern, a large concern that I've been hearing a lot recently has been, well, in these large plants, these large processing plants, such as JBS in Green Bay, if there are all these positives, if there's all these workers that test positive for coronavirus and they're working with food, will those or have those workers infected the food, which then could, in this case, meat, which then could make it to supermarkets and grocery stores and then potentially become risk for consumers purchasing those products? And all the information that I've garnered today has been no, and it goes back to the CDC's understanding and conveying of that understanding that food is not a good vehicle or is not a vehicle for the spread of this disease.
So it's these workers working alongside each other on these production lines, and the virus spreading from one worker to the next.
Yeah, that's correct, and that's been the biggest challenge that a lot of the larger meat processing facilities have been trying to work through is you know, with relatively large, you know, worker populations, how are they able to manage those populations and still get the work done. And this, you know, and this is very is and it should be noted that right, we're seeing this in large establishments, but we shouldn't also forget that there's thousands of small and very small establishments that also are up against some of these same challenges.
Well, let's pause there with Jeff Sindelar, meat specialist with UW Extension. Are you concerned that plant closures could cut meat processing capacity in our country? Join in at 800-642-1234. Bring your questions, your insights. Back in a minute with Jeff Sindelar right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Some of the country's largest meat processing plants have been forced to halt operations temporarily after thousands of employees across the country have tested positive for COVID-19. Meanwhile, meat, beef, and pork production reached record highs last month. We have Jeff Sindelar helping us understand this. He's an associate professor of animal and dairy sciences at UW-Madison. He stays with us. Let's take another call now. Ray is joining us. And Ray, I understand you're a truck driver. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, if President Trump signed this and wants all the employees to go to work, they all have to be quarantined because they have the virus. So how are these companies going to have enough employees to stay open?
How will they be able to stay open on the assembly lines, Jeff Sindelar?
Yeah, Ray, that's a great question. And that's what a lot of the large processing plants have been battling the last several weeks. So the signing of that order by President Trump was very strategic in basically helping everyone understand that we are not going to go into a food crisis, the U.S. So it basically empowered him to use his resources at the federal level, you know, tapping into different agencies and providing the resources or unlocking those resources for these large meat processing plants to use so that they can navigate through this. But many of the plants are challenged with keeping people healthy, right? As well as keeping operations, because many of these plants are very systematic, right? There are lots of processes. It takes a lot of people, a lot of line worker type of jobs. They need a bare minimum number of people just to open the doors, and that is being strained by some of the you know, first and foremost, the employees that test positive, as well as whenever there are local, state, or federal governments that are coming in to try to weigh in and try to potentially force something to occur, which sometimes is a negative. So it's a real challenge to keep these plants open, and it simply needs people to do that.
Ray, thanks. Let's bring in Becky now, who is joining us from Beloit this morning. Hi, Becky.
Hey, my question is, since the hotels, motels, restaurants haven't been open, is there a real big worry right now because they haven't been ordering the meat? As far as shortages?
Yeah. Jeff, what do you see there? Because, you know, as we see maybe more consumer demand at home, as people are eating in more, is that offset because the restaurants and the hotels and so forth aren't open?
It absolutely is, and that's one of the pathways that meat establishments, large, medium, and small, are pursuing is shifting their production, which you know, maybe part of it or a lot of it, or even in some cases all of it, was going to the HRI, hotel restaurant industries, and then shifting that to retailers. So, you know, for example, there's a local meat processor right outside Madison here. When the COVID-19 outbreak, you know, occurred, about 70% of their business was HRI, and so they've had to shift that business model to directly marketing and providing those cuts. Those products to consumers. So absolutely.
Well, we've heard the rise of, you know your local butcher, know your neighborhood, the butcher around the corner. Are we going to see more of that going on where we have more local meat processing, maybe very small operations, and these local butchers connecting directly to consumers?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing that already. And I think we'll see more and more of that. You know, Wisconsin is very, very fortunate. We're very rich in terms of not only the amount of meat processing that's occurring in the state. It's one of the largest industrial outputs in the state of Wisconsin, but also the quality of the products and just the craftsmen that are out there producing those. So, you know, we have about 375 small, very small plants in the state of Wisconsin, which is one of the largest numbers of any state in the country. Those establishments are trying to help alleviate some of the overburden of that's occurring with too many animals and not enough places to go with them. So they're trying to take on extra capacity, and they're also absolutely, to your point, meeting the needs of consumers that are looking for other resources for products when perhaps grocery stores and supermarkets aren't maybe providing that or maybe becoming into question in the future being able to provide that.
We're talking with Jeff Sindelar, an associate professor of animal and dairy sciences at UW-Madison, looking at the state of meat processing plants here in Wisconsin and the food supply across the country. With your questions, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Nate now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Nate.
Hi, thank you for having me. I was going to ask, since part of Trump's executive order says that companies will not be held liable for their workers getting sick, how do we know that the company itself will actually do whatever it can to make sure its workers aren't getting sick?
Yeah.
Jeff, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll start out by saying I'm a meat scientist, but it's a really great question. I think that the act provides, and I certainly don't want to speak out of turn because, you know, I'm not as well versed in this topic area, this subject area, but the act essentially shifts the liability to the federal government or shifts a portion of that. In addition to that, meat and poultry processing plants, they have liability regardless. They're liable for the well-being of their employees. They're liable for meeting contracts and processing animals, you know, from farmers and ranchers and producers. They're liable to consumers to provide a safe, wholesome, nutritious food and do that on a day in, day out basis. So I'm kind of skirting around your question a little bit because I don't know the specifics of what that, you know, what the term liability in that act really truly means, but hopefully I've conveyed that it's a fairly sophisticated and complicated topic.
Well, Jeff, in the last minute or so we have with you, what can we do? How can consumers help this situation? What advice would you give about buying meat right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. Another great question. So consumers are part of the meat industry, right? The meat industry is full of stakeholders, and stakeholders are those that are involved with the meat industry. And those include the people that are raising animals, people that are processing animals, the people that are buying the products. So we all are stakeholders. The best thing, in my opinion, that we can do is stay the course, have trust in the system, and, you know, really, really, really try our best to remain calm and try not to evoke any of those bumps that we talked about earlier.
Like, so panic buying is not a good time to do any type of panic buying.
Absolutely. You know, if you want to buy, you know, more, stock up a little bit more, you know, try to limit it to, you know, maybe a couple of weeks of food, but try not to do that panic buying, because that just exaggerates that bump and it puts additional pressure. And I realize that's very, very hard to do, but, you know, there's lots of people, really smart people. There's lots of things that are going on in the background to really try to mitigate and really, really work through this pandemic so that that food supply, that meat supply is there and it remains there so that, you know, the Wisconsin consumers don't have to be concerned and can have confidence in that food supply.
Jeff, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Jeff Sindelar, Associate Professor of Animal and Dairy Sciences in the College of Agriculture and Life Science at UW-Madison. Coming up, it's On Point, looking at contact tracing. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.